Hey folks, Katie here. Just a quick announcement before we start. There is no free episode this week. We are absolutely exhausted from our two-part series. Episode 164, a can't look away nightmare involving a sci-fi writer, a maybe formerly racist cybersecurity expert, and somehow a cabal of online opening and Anthony fundamentalist part one. And episode 165, a can't look away nightmare involving a sci-fi writer, a maybe formerly racist cybersecurity expert, and somehow a cabal of online Opity and Anthony fundamentalist part two. Both of those should already be in your feed. We released both of those shows last week. We are taking this week off, but we don't want to leave you hanging. So instead, we have a preview of our next premium episode. This one is about the world of Roblox, something that your kids probably understand even if you don't. And if you are a free subscriber, you are going to get a preview of that episode. To listen to the entire episode, join our premium subscription program at blockedandreported.org, where you will get access to this episode, as well as all of our premium content. It's just $5 a month, blockedandreported.org. Thanks for listening and enjoy the show.
Katie, I hear you were helping to defend free speech in the Pacific Northwest.
Yes, Jesse, I am a protector of free speech. Everybody, you can thank me for your First Amendment right. Now, I did a talk a couple weeks ago at the University of Washington in Seattle, this panel discussion with FIRE. It was me, an attorney from FIRE. That's the Foundation for Individual Rights and Expression, NAY, Foundation for Individual Rights and Education, Aaron Turr from FIRE, and Pedro Domingos at UW. Do you know the name Pedro Domingos, Jesse?
Yeah, I think on Twitter, he's a little bit of a flamethrower. He's very like, he's proactive in expressing his beliefs.
Yeah, I think he's very pro-free speech when it comes to his own Twitter. Yeah, it was interesting. So there was a protest. This was my first, aside from our aborted appearance at, what was that university we were going to talk at? The Lesser Ivy?
No one knows the name. Yeah. It's like a community college up in New Hampshire or something.
Yeah. Cornell? Was it Cornell? No, it wasn't it.
That doesn't sound familiar.
It was Dartmouth. Aside from my aborted appearance with you and Carol Hooven at Dartmouth from last fall, this was my first event that had like protesters there.
What were they? They were protesting you or Pedro or who?
It's unclear because their chant over and over again. So I could only hear them from outside the building. They were chanting Black Lives Matter.
Uh-huh.
And so I don't honestly, like if you didn't, win. If I hadn't been informed that they were there to protest the event, I would have thought, oh, there's a Black Lives Matter rally
coincidentally.
At the same location. Coincidentally. They did. So I got there kind of late. Aaron was doing a keynote before I got there. And so during his keynote, apparently they like actually came into the building and it was like actually loud and disruptive. But the student organizers, it was these students from Huskies for Liberty. And they did something really smart, which was they had me go through the parking deck and then up through the basement and then through the building. So I didn't even see the protesters. So they handled it really well. I would highly recommend if for any universities out there, any students or faculty or admins who are planning an event to hold it at a location where the speakers being protested can go in through the basement and not actually have to see any protesters. So it worked out really well.
Presumably these kids were from FAIR, the Foundation Against Individual Rights Expression.
Exactly. Yeah, so it ended up, I was sort of nervous about the protest, but the talk itself or the panel itself actually ended up being a bit of a debate, which was unexpected, between me and Pedro.
What were you debating? Whether or not Black Lives Matter?
Yes. No. Pedro, it turns out, he's a UW computer science faculty, and he became well known a couple years ago because he was tweeting basically anti-affirmative action takes on Twitter. So he's very like anti-woke, right? But he also, it turns out, is a huge Ron DeSantis fan. And so we ended up debating basically like Florida legislative policy.
Oh,
but he said one thing at one point, it was illustrative to me because he was basically arguing at some point that there should be like an accreditation process for teachers and woke teachers and like faculty, university faculty shouldn't be able to get accredited. So they shouldn't be able to get jobs.
What?
Yeah. It ended up being very heated. He's European. I think maybe he's Spanish. I'm basing this entirely on his name. He's very heated.
It was very easy to Wikipedia, but he's Portuguese.
I guess I'd get accreditation because I just did a microaggression. So he was very animated. And I was just like, apparently, like, my wife was there and I asked her like what she thought. And she was like, the look on your face, you were having such a hard time not rolling your eyes into the back of your head. I think I maybe didn't actually succeed at not rolling my eyes into the back of my head, because what he was arguing for was the mirror image of the policies that FIRE basically fights against. FIRE sued the state of Florida over Ron DeSantis's Stop Woke Act.
Yeah.
And Florida, just like, shit in Florida is getting really crazy. Like, Ron DeSantis is trying to ban gender studies majors.
Is he really?
Yeah. Well, okay. So there's a bill called HB 999. It hasn't passed yet. It probably will. And when it does, DeSantis will probably sign it into law. Like, and like most of these bills, it's vague enough so that the actual eventual outcome of it could vary. But there are lots of news reports about how this could lead to a ban on, for instance, gender studies majors. I completely understand why anyone wouldn't trust the coverage of these bills. But here's a quote from Ron DeSantis himself. If you want to do things like gender ideology, go to Berkeley. He said this at a press conference touting the bill and was basically like, look, we're not using taxpayer dollars to fund these niche politicized majors anymore. Go to California. And you can think that gender studies is a useless major and that there's probably a lot of misinformation, pseudoscience, maybe some astrology in there too, without thinking that it should be banned by the state, which in fact is my position. But my fellow panelist, Pedro, he was very much in favor of using the heavy hand of the state to control what is taught in public universities. DeSantis is also trying to eliminate tenure, which is, of course, designed to give professors academic freedom and freedom of speech and protect them from political interference in their work, or, for instance, when they make unpopular tweets about, say, affirmative action. But yeah, it ended up being much more of a heated debate than I had expected. Normally, when I've done these panels, it's like three people who basically agree with each other, and this was not that.
Well, it's too bad the protesters missed it. They could have maybe learned a thing or two.
I think they would have left sort of cheering my name, Katie Herzog Lives Matter, if they had just gotten a chance to like actually come into the building.
Well, I'm glad you did that event. I hope there's more events like that in the future. I'm a little jealous because I have never, other than Dartmouth, I've never experienced being protested either. Hopefully someday.
I can protest you.
That'd be helpful. Could you pay some people to protest me?
Well, sure, but I'm going to take it out of your 10% of the earnings.
5% now, I thought.
That's true. You did just get a deduction.
I did. A demerit for my... what's the word I'm looking for? Insubordinate behavior.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Katie, should we move on to today's main event?
Yeah, what is the main event today? You're in charge.
Wait, I thought you were doing it.
No, you got the keys.
Do you know what Roblox is?
Roblox. I know what Roblox are.
All right, well, let's start with that. What's a roadblock?
A roadblock is when they're trying to bust you for the DUI, man.
Okay.
At which point, you need to stow your bottles under your seat and put that weed that you're smoking in your Barbie pouch very quickly.
Well, what you're supposed to do, if you're drunk and you get pulled over and the cop comes up your window, you're constitutionally allowed to be like, are you a cop?
And
if you're a cop, you have to tell me you're a cop. And then they say yes. And then you can say, I refuse to be detained by you.
Oh, is that how it works?
You can drive away.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So if anyone's listening to this is drunk driving, keep that in mind.
Yeah, drunk driving while listening to this podcast.
Okay, so that's what a roadblock is. Do you know what Roblox are?
I don't know. I know it's a video game or a terrestrial game. Is that what they call the games with blocks?
Terrestrial game. I've never even heard that term.
I just made it up. It's a game that's like in the 3D.
Here's how Trace put it in the show notes, referencing his what are their titles? Assistant to the producer?
Yeah, something like that.
Executive. Trace is referencing Lex here.
Our good boys. Our very good boys.
Except when they're bad boys.
Do you think that we could at some point get sued for like referring to Trace as a dog? Do you think this is actually could like come back and haunt us?
Sued by a dog for stolen valor or sued by Trace for harassment?
Because he's not actually a dog. He's a jackal.
Oh, okay. So sued for misspeciesing him?
Yeah, it's harassment.
Okay. Yeah, well, I'll keep an eye out for that notice from Trace. I'm trying to think what would have to go wrong for Trace to sue us. Things would have to have gotten pretty bad, but I'm sure it'll happen eventually.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, let's stay on track. Here's what Trace said. Lex is like 12, so he might know a bit about Roblox, but the rest of us are pretty far outside its target demographic. Shots fired from Trace, who's usually a good boy. But yeah, this is a video game for mostly young people. It's apparently become one of the core experiences of modern youth culture, as Trace put it. In 2020, it was reported by The Verge that over half of Americans under 16 play Roblox. Depending on whose numbers you trust, it has something like 43 or 66 million daily active users, which puts it in like totally rarefied territory. It was already popular before the pandemic, but during the pandemic, it exploded because kids had little else to do. When the company went public in 2021, it was valued at $45 billion. So it's basically, it allows you to chat with other users, play games they've made, and make your own games. So it's sort of a game development tool mixed with a social network.
Okay, so it's not one game.
It's not one game. It lets you make games and play other people's games. So they're all different, all these different Roblox games. When I Googled best Roblox games, I got names like Adopt Me. That's kind of sad, with an exclamation mark. Adopt Me, Project New World, Bed Wars, which sounds a little kinky.
Yeah, that doesn't sound appropriate.
Survive the Killer. So yeah, I think Roblox and Minecraft are seen in similar ways, but Minecraft is more about single player experiences, where Roblox is more social on average, or something like that.
Did you play any of the games?
I did not play any of the games. I don't have it in me to download Roblox. I'm sorry, Katie.
Lazy.
I'm extremely lazy. And I never said
you're
otherwise.
Busy playing Screw the Spire.
Fuck the Spire. Yeah.
Fuck the Spire. Did you see someone made a little animation of you and I talking about that stupid game that you play?
You mean the audio thing they did?
No, it's an animation.
Animation?
I'll send it to you.
I didn't see this.
If you were on Twitter, you would see it.
Now.
We'll put it in the show notes. It's quite good.
Wait, it's an anim. Okay. All right. One of the key differences between Roblox and Minecraft is like Roblox is a lot more about money. That's partly because if you make a game that people like, you can charge them for it and you can make money. As Trace put it about the overall situation, Roblox's combination of incredibly young audience, profit motive, and user-built content leads inevitably to all sorts of scandals of one degree or another, from disputes over how much creators get paid to concerns about gambling, speculation, and exploitation on the platform, and to a steady stream of inappropriate content for mods to eventually find and slap down. So I'll include a link to an episode of a show called People Make Games that really gets into some of the problems with this platform. Basically, one of the really alarming ones is Roblox allows kids to purchase these in-game trinkets that have a limited supply and end up having asinine resale values. So you're talking about like a little fake hat or handbag getting sold for $10,000.
What?
It's insane. And there's a thriving market where in completely insane amounts of Robux, which is the in-game currency, slosh around. And there's actually an exchange rate between the US dollar and Robux. As of today, it's about 3 cents per Robux.
Wait, and it's kids who are doing this, like trading and what?
Yeah, yeah. So people should watch this documentary. There's certain safeguards in place. Like if you're a kid, you can't just like empty out your parents' bank account. But the reality is this is like an incredibly underregulated.
You could empty out your piggy bank though.
Exactly. And there's gambling elements of it. There's speculation. It's just it's crazy. Roblox has basically figured out a way to print money because it takes a cut from these transactions. So you come up with a fake hat, introduce it to this marketplace, it gets sold, and you get a...
Dude, I'm wearing one right now.
This is why we need to get into non-fungible tokens.
I wish you had your camera on right now so you could see the hat that I'm wearing. It's one of those Guy Fieri hats, except the hair. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
But the hair is like Moose's hair. My nephew gave it to me for my birthday.
I love Guy Fieri.
I haven't taken it off.
So on top of all that creepiness, because Roblox has a really young user base, Katie, what do collections of young people tend to attract?
Groomers.
Yes. Basically, yeah. You're joking, but that's literally what's happening. I'll link to an article called Rundown of Problems with Roblox by a guy who I guess is short-selling Roblox. That talks about like there is this problem with people hanging out with kids in Roblox and trying to exploit them or sometimes meet up with them in real life. So
does Congress know about Roblox? I'm shocked that they haven't banned it yet, or at least in the state of Montana.
You would think that this would, like, for all the groomer talk, you would think this would, they'd pay more attention to this than TikTok.
Right. Yeah. Libs of TikTok. Come on, move away from the drag queen, sister.
So those are the basics of Roblox and the controversy surrounding it. Our story today is about one of the game's louder and more prolific critics, a guy named Ruben Sim, legal name Benjamin Robert Simon. Ruben Sim is a...
Is he related to the Sim family?
Yeah. So the Sims is actually named after
him. Of Sim City?
I didn't know where to go with that.
This is a competing company.
Exactly. Ruben Sim is a YouTuber. He's got more than a million subscribers, and he's been making Roblox-related videos since 2010, when he was 13 years old. Some of his videos just involve him playing around in Roblox. Katie, click the link here, and we'll embed some of this audio. Make a good faith attempt, an honest good faith attempt, to describe what you're seeing and hearing.
Wait. Don't go over there.
There's a bunch of different guys. They kind of look like Lego figures. Except they have weird bodies, weirder bodies than Lego figures. Oh, okay. So now there's a bunch of police, and it looks like someone just shot a cop. Is that what I just saw?
I'm not sure. I wanted you to explain this because I didn't get it. It's apparently, yeah, something to do with basic training, right? That's in the name. The Roblox boot camp experience.
Okay, so it's not cops. It was like a
soldiers.
What do they call the boot camp guy?
Drill sergeant.
So someone, it looks like someone just shot a. Let me watch that again.
This could be the rest of the episode.
Yeah. Someone just shot... Actually, I think a drill sergeant just shot some soldiers. Just shot some privates.
So this is what the nation's 10-year-olds are spending their time on, pretending to murder one another in military environments. Anyway, that was one of his...
And this has 4.8 million views.
Of course it does.
And this is a game that somebody... Okay, so this is a game that somebody made on Roblox.
Yeah.
Okay. And this is a game that, like what we're watching here, this video was somebody playing the game.
Yeah. So.
Okay. God, I feel old.
I know. Wrote this whole thing. I just had like this avoidant response. Was like, I don't want to learn about Roblox. Don't want to learn about Roblox. But I had to do my job. It sucked. So Ruben Sim, in addition to just making these like goofy, very hard to understand Roblox videos, has also developed a reputation as an ardent YouTube critic of Roblox. Katie, read the screenshot I put in the show notes from his entry page on Wikitubia, which is a thing that exists.
Controversies. So this is like the chapters, like on Wikipedia. Controversies.
Yeah.
Exposing Mr. Obvious. Feud with Noble Dragon. Swearing in voice chat. Lawsuit by Roblox. Feud with Dieter Plays. Furry hate speech. Oh, God. What are we getting into?
So this is a guy who does get into some controversies. A significant chunk of his work on YouTube is just like exposing bad actors within Roblox. So that ranges from moderators who he feels aren't doing their jobs to, in some cases, trying to expose folks he believes to be pedophiles. So one of his videos is titled Mr. Obvious is a Pedophile, parentheses June 2017, starts with a black background and this on-screen text. Mr. Obvious is a Roblox animator with thousands of subscribers on YouTube and a fan base composing mostly of children. In 2014, Roblox awarded him with a Bloxy Award for one of his videos. Then the screen shifts. On June 14, 2017, it was discovered he had been using his fame to sexually exploit children between the ages of 13 and 15 years old. So in the video, Ruben Sim explains who this Mr. Obvious person is and includes audio of a video someone sent him that... Apparently, Mr. Obvious sent a 15-year-old girl. He's rubbing his penis through his underwear. There's apparently another video where his penis was visible, and Sim believed Mr. Obvious was 22 at the time, sending the stuff to a 15-year-old. Sim explains in the video that he contacted law enforcement, and he offers a lot of screenshots that seem to support the idea that this person is, in fact, a predator. So,
and wait, Jesse, so did anything come of this? Like, do we know who this person is? He sent to law enforcement. Was there, I don't know, any sort of investigation?
So I believe that this person was eventually banned, but it really took a long time. Everyone involved was slow to react. I don't believe there was police action in this case. But the video is interesting for a couple of reasons. I mean, one of which is just like, Ruben Sim sees himself as doing detective work and like really trying to bring this guy to justice. He does include a lot of screenshots that don't have full context. And you and I both know when someone is a controversial figure online, it's not hard to find other people who are like, yeah, he wronged me too. So the evidence ranges from really damning stuff that appear to be videos of him masturbating to a 15-year-old to like screenshots from Discord that are less compelling. Now, Rubensim does come off like as a bit of a crusader here and as extremely frustrated by Roblox's inaction. Here's a clip from that video. Mr. Obvious is a pedophile, parentheses, June 2017.
As I do on all of my videos, I'd like to point out what Roblox has done wrong in handling this. First off, it's clear that so far, at least at the time of making this video, I've done far more than any Roblox staff member in trying to responsibly and legally bring justice to him. Roblox is a multi-million dollar company with $92 million in investor funding, yet they can't develop a moderation team competent enough to prevent this type of behavior. This never would have happened if Roblox mods noticed the red flags he showed on Twitter. All they had to do was check his messages. Roblox isn't a complicated system where reasonable suspicion needs to be given or a warrant issued for a mod to view someone's personal messages. They have complete access to it, and they never bothered to check. And if they did, they certainly didn't care. And now we have a community of victims who've been exploited, manipulated, and threatened by what's nothing short of a monster.
So he's like sort of trying to argue, like, why aren't these other people doing their jobs? Why does this fall to me, right?
Yeah, they should be checking his messages and then doing something about it. Ban the guy or whatever.
Yeah. At the end of the video, he suggests his viewers email Roblox to complain about Mr. Obvious directly. Then he includes this message to Mr. Obvious himself.
And then Mr. Obvious, because I have a feeling you'll watch this video, break your modem. Really, go find your internet box and take a fucking hammer to it. You've shown yourself to be incapable of using the internet without being a total cock to everyone you meet. Then take a hatchet to your toilet paper roll dick, walk to the nearest police station, and turn yourself in. You have nothing left here. You threw everything you worked for away, all for some sick sexual rush. The only reason you kept looking online for a girlfriend is because you're so unbearable. The only way someone can stand to talk to you for more than 5 minutes is if they're doing it from another side of the world. You don't deserve to see the same sun as the rest of us, so do everyone a favor and make amends by turning yourself in. You'll save the police department a lot of time arresting you. As always, thank you for watching. I'm Ruben Sim, and don't forget to
like and subscribe.
For more uplifting content.
So this is a tough love situation. Actually, yeah. Not tough love, tough hate.
So you can see, like, so there's an element of this where he's, like, trying to sort of be an activist and try to make Roblox better. But there's, like, you know, he's a little bit trolly. He's a little bit angry. His personality definitely seeps into it. Yeah. He's mad online, as are we all. So along the way, earlier on, Ruben Sim did a series called Roblox Watch. It was basically a satirical news show about Roblox. In it, he made a lot of fun of Roblox's moderation policies, and apparently this ran afoul of Bob Pierron, aka Noble Dragon, who is the lead moderator for Roblox. As a result, claims Ruben Sim, Roblox started banning his accounts for having criticized him. This is what Ruben Sim says happened. Ruben Sim decided to do an episode about Bob, about Noble Dragon, and he found out that Bob was following a not-safe-for-work furry account. Furries are always going to pop up somehow from his Roblox affiliated Twitter account. And Ruben mentioned this in his video, which went up in May of 2016. As Sim later claimed in a video called Why I'm Banned for Life from Roblox, after this video criticizing Noble Dragon went up, anyone who even mentioned Ruben Sim's name on Roblox would get permanently banned. This is what Ruben claims. Sim also claimed that after he met Bob in a Roblox game, like snuck onto a game he was playing and asked him to unban one of his earliest accounts, Bob or someone else on the mod team banned his whole IP address, meaning his girlfriend who he was living with at the time also could no longer access Roblox. So Ruben Sim's argument is, I criticize these guys, I try to get them to do a better job moderating, they just ban me mercilessly to try to stifle criticism.
Did he call the video What About Bob?
He should have. He did not. So, you know, things get pretty heated between Ruben Sim and Roblox for a long time. Sim's argument is that Roblox is just not doing nearly enough to protect young people from these basically perverts who use the fact that a lot of kids hang out there to search for victims. As Sim tells it, he's constantly trying to get Roblox's attention to try to get them to do something about these creeps, and Roblox just doesn't really.
Yeah, so I just Googled Roblox, and one of the first things that comes up is, like, in the little Google people also ask thing, is Roblox safe?
Yeah.
And the answer is yes. Like, this seems like it's not like a super violent, although maybe you can have violent games on it, but this seems like the way that it's marketed, at least, is that this is one of the safer games for kids to play.
Yeah. So yes. And I think that really depends on the extent to like how young your kid is and how much you're monitoring their activity. Now, part of the problem, mm-hmm. and I think Roblox has sort of used this as an excuse, is a huge amount of Roblox related discourse. And I think even transactions takes part on third party sites that are not Roblox. So these mm-hmm. kids are jumping between Roblox games and Discord chats.
YouTube.
Everyone's okay, Discord more. And a lot of the creepy shit takes place in Discord.
Gotcha.
Where it's a little bit harder for Roblox to enforce. And Roblox might, just as a big company with a lot going on, probably has less incentive to police what's going on this whole other giant complicated platform where...
Well, yeah. How would they even be able to police Discord? It's not their company.
Well, what they could do is if someone... acted inappropriately on Discord and you could prove a link between their account on Discord and Roblox, you could ban them from Roblox. But you can see how that might be complicated to pull off in practice.
For sure.
So,
and also weaponized.
Oh yeah, totally. Another really creepy example, there was a lead developer for a Roblox game called Sonic Eclipse Online. It was basically just a ripoff of these old Sonic the Hedgehog games. This is a guy named Arnold Castillo, also known as Jason Shedletsky or Dr. Rofatnik. It's a hilarious playoff of Dr. Robotnik from Sonic. This is another dude Sim raised alarms about, relying on leaked screenshots of him sending sexually suggestive comments to a minor. Arnold Castillo was actually arrested for kidnapping in July of last year. He tried to pay an Uber driver to drive his victim 700 miles to him. So he's
what?
Like,
wait,
yes,
wait. He I'm just starting to think about how this would work. Was that the kidnapping? Was he like got someone like ordered someone a ride?
Yeah. The New Jersey.com headline reads like New Jersey man hired car to drive Indiana girl 700 miles to his home for sex. Authorities say. Maybe he just wanted to play Roblox in person.
So presumably she consented to this. I'm sure it's still kidnapping if this person was a minor, but I'm assuming that she consented to this, getting to the car.
It's just funny that that's your response.
Well,
this girl was
I'm just curious about how this would work. Like a girl kicking and screaming in the back seat with an Uber driver. It just doesn't make any sense.
She's 15. She's 15.
Right. No, but I'm saying, yeah, obviously like it's still like I said, it's still like probably legally kidnapping and.
I don't want to miss the forest for the trees here, but this line from the Jersey.com story, Castillo allegedly paid the Uber driver $500 before he picked up the girl in Indianapolis and another $500 in cash after they arrived in Patterson at the end of the trip, officials say. That's 11 hours each way. He's such a cheapskate.
Yeah, I mean, 700 miles.
You can't, if you're going to pay someone to commit a major felony of transporting a minor across state lines for sex, you can at least pay them well. That's what I've always said, at least.
And also, like, does that include gas or what? Because if not, this is just a clear loss.
He's only the only thing they could pin on him were labor violations, actually.
Do you think he got 5 stars?
Jesus Christ, this is so fucking dark. Hey, okay, so suffice it to say, Ruben, Sim, and Roblox do not have a good relationship. Sim is a pretty trolly and aggressive guy, even as he's pointing out legitimate problems with the platform. He thinks he's taking part in a righteous effort to make Roblox safer for kids. Things come to a head in early 2021 when Roblox sues Ruben Sim for $1.6 million.
Damn.
We'll include a link in the show notes. The lawsuit is a short but crazy read. Roblox accuses Sim of being head of a quote-unquote cyber mob that, with malice, fraud, and oppression, commits and encourages unlawful acts designed to injure Roblox and its users, including, by way of example, the following unlawful acts. Then the complaint accuses Ruben Sim of issuing terrorist threats to deter Roblox players from participating in a real-life convention, including one that led to the 2021 Roblox Developer Conference in San Francisco having to be temporarily shut down. They also say that Ruben Sim violated the Roblox terms of use by...
Wait. Did he do that? Did he, like, call in a bomb threat?
Well, we're gonna get there.
Okay.
Basically, they say... I'll just read directly from the lawsuit. Quote, then during RDC 2021, that's Roblox Developer Conference 2021, defendant Simon, that's his legal name, publicly posted a terrorist bomb threat to his Twitter account, knowing that the threat was false. Quote, breaking, San Francisco police are currently searching for notorious Islamic extremist Julius Al Muhammad. If you see this individual at RDC, please call 911 immediately, end quote. Defendant Simon posted an image below this text purporting to depict the fictitious Islamic extremist as having posted a YouTube video titled "Someone Blow Up Roblox Now." Defendant Simon made related posts, including "Don't come to RDC tomorrow."
Okay, Julius Al Muhammad. What is this kid like from New Jersey? Like, where did he? Where,
I think there's so many levels of trolling going on here that
sounds like the name of somebody who's like the head of a lacrosse team. At least the first part of his name.
It's very confusing, and we'll get to his response to this, but it reads to me like a certain type of trolling that is very ill-advised because it could be interpreted as a threat. The complaint also says that Sim, quote, violated the Roblox terms of use by engaging in sexual conversation with users, discussing sex acts, engaging in sexual harassment, singling out users and groups for ridicule or abuse, attempting to upload a nude image of himself with only a lampshade covering his genitals, using racial and homophobic slurs, creating and using inappropriate accounts with sexual names, attempting to upload a sex game, attempting to upload pictures of Hitler, and using prolific profanity.
Okay. So,
and murder.
Yeah. So they're saying that this guy who's been on a crusade against them is actually he's problematic.
Yes. So Sim uploads two video responses to the lawsuit, and he offers his side of some of these accusations. In some of the situations, it seems like Roblox's complaints are like bullshit, basically. Mm-hmm. So the claim that he engaged in sexual talk on Roblox, Ruben Sim says this was him being in like a room with his friends. One of them said like something like, "I'm coming." And Ruben Sim said something like, "Oh, you're coming. All right." It was like something on that level. That's because right. The complaint does not even point out exactly what he did that was sexual. Sim claims that was it. And that it was a room full of, as far as he knew, adults. So it's like pretty thin. Another example that's like pretty crazy that they would include this in the lawsuit. The lawsuit claims that Sim, quote, tweeted a Photoshop picture of a former Roblox employee who was openly gay, depicting him nude, and then repeatedly harassed him on Twitter, end quote. Ruben Sim explains that in one of his videos, so the employee in question was a social media manager Roblox hired in 2015. He was also, unfortunately, running a fetish porn blog, mm-hmm. and he posted nudes of himself in the desert to Tumblr. Mm-hmm. So in the course of raising awareness that this guy like is simultaneously working for a game for kids and running a fetish porn blog, Sim reposted his own photos of himself to make a point. And Sim also completely denied any photoshopping went on. But I feel like, wasn't there another story you covered on Blocked and Reported where like someone posted nude photos of themselves and then someone else reposted them and they're like, "How dare you?"
No bells at all. I have no idea this could have happened.
Jesus, you don't remember that at all?
No, anyway, not at all.
It's sort of like, it's just not, if someone else posts a nude photo of themselves and then you repost it, that is obviously, you're not committing some evil act. Again, you can't post nude photos of yourself and expect other people not to repost them.
Well, this makes it seem like it's some sort of like revenge porn and like homophobic revenge porn. Now, the question of whether or not you should be a social media manager while also running a fetish porn blog is a different one.
Yeah. I just think maybe, I don't know, man, maybe I'm getting more conservative as I age, but like, the people who work for a game for kids should probably just not be posting openly sexual stuff.
What fetish was it? Was it a Roblox fetish?
There was furry stuff involved, unfortunately.
It's always furry stuff, isn't it?
It's always fucking furry stuff.
Or people just also need to be like much, much better about hiding their extracurriculars.
Yeah. Yeah.
Or else they will end up on Libs of TikTok at some point.
So the lawsuit also mentioned that Sim violated the terms of service by having the usernames Cock Assassin and six, which is pretty good, and 69 Dev 69. In his response video, Sim pointed out these were from when he was a kid. Remember, he made these videos from 2010 when he was very young, and he just hasn't used them. He was being groomed. So it's like, to sue someone over usernames, inactive usernames from when they were a kid, I don't know, man. Okay. In one of his videos, Sim said he was going to respond to the terrorist threats claims. He even included a screenshot that looked like he'd already uploaded the video that mentioned that. I could find no evidence that he ever responded to that. I asked Trace. Trace said he wasn't aware that he ever responded to the terrorist threat video. I emailed Ruben Sim. I didn't hear back. So, like,
If he has a lawyer, the lawyer might have told him to shut the fuck up, which is, would probably be good advice.
Yeah, I mean, I still think that it was trolling, just really ill-advised trolling. I don't think he actually meant to threaten anyone, but that's my interpretation. And we don't have any more details from Ruben Sim or from Roblox, because the complaint did not have a lot of like supporting evidence.
That, I mean, if that is what it's about, like, that's an incredibly stupid thing to do. You can't troll,
fuck around with
bomb
stuff
threats.
Like,
yeah, you can't fuck around with that shit.
No. Okay. Either way, in January of 2022, Sim settled the lawsuit with Roblox for $150,000, which is about a tenth of what the company was seeking. I don't know how to interpret this. Sim and his allies crowed that like they had won. On the one hand, he probably didn't want to give $150,000 to a company he despises.
Mm-hmm.
On the other hand, Roblox did not get a lot of what it was looking for, such as Sim. They wanted Sim to delete a bunch of his social media accounts and so on. Mm-hmm. The settlement does order Sim not to use Roblox, marking a rare occasion in which a court says you can't play this video game anymore, which is my worst nightmare. Jesse, you're too good at playing Slay the Spire.
It's the nanny state.
So we'll include links to the settlement and the Ars Technica coverage of the settlement in the show notes. One reason to think that Sim is basically the victor here, other than the $150,000, which I think he can afford if he has more than a million YouTube videos, he has not had to stop talking shit about Roblox. If anything, he's ramped up his crusade in recent months over the course of multiple videos we'll link to in the show notes. He
owes money. He's got to make exactly. more content.
I was ready to retire from this, but now I have to pay $150,000.
This is probably, if Roblox really wanted him to shut the fuck up, this is probably the worst way to go about it.
Yeah, suing people to shut them up doesn't usually work.
Suing somebody to shut them up, and also like somebody who already hates your company, this is just going to hate them more. I mean, it seems like what they could have done was maybe try to address what seems like really legitimate concerns about grooming on the platform. I don't know.
Well, so there's the what's her name? The famous singer, Streisand. There's a Streisand effect where, like, if you draw attention to something, you blow it up. I think some people, unfortunately, can be sued into, like, intimidated into silence because they're like some random person doesn't want to face down Roblox. In Ruben Sim's case, he's like a pretty successful YouTube creator with some means of defending himself and weaponizing outrage against Roblox for trying to tamp down on criticism of it
and profiting from it himself.
Yeah. He's been posting more. 6 months ago, he posted a video about that Castillo creep arrested by the FBI. A few months ago, he did a video about how he does more to moderate Roblox and its own moderators. In one of these videos, though, he took on an enemy much more powerful than the multi-billion-dollar corporation he's been tangling with. Katie, click that link and we'll embed this.
Okay, if you're a furry, if you're still a furry, if you're still watching this, consider not being a furry, okay? And I really mean that. Look around you. Ask yourself, do I really want to be associated with this? Do I really want to tell people I'm a furry and this be the first thing they think of? No, you really don't. And you should probably not be a furry anymore, okay? Just saying. You could still draw animals. You could still draw cartoons. That's fine, okay? They've been doing that since the fucking Looney Tunes days. Draw cartoons, be a normal person, okay? That's my advice to you. And go outside and take a shower and brush your teeth and drink water. Just get your whole life together.
So, yeah, he's taking on a pretty obsessive enemy there, right?
Yeah, don't fuck with the furries.
Don't fuck with
the
furries.
Learned that mistake a few times.
No, we really have. So in some now...
They will send their Nazi furries after you, and they do have Nazi furries.
In some now deleted tweets that Trace thankfully screen capped, also in the show notes, Sim also said the following. After seeing some of the interactions I've gotten over the past 24 hours, I've decided I now not only support banning furries from all spaces, but also denying them financial opportunities and possibly even healthcare.
But what about veterinary care?
More. I unironically hate furries. They're disgusting porn addicts. They're annoying and they groom children. If I were president, I'd establish FEMA camps to have them all rounded up and ground up into dog food, and they'd probably like it. My favorite part about making tweets like this is it makes all the furry coomers come crawling out of the woodwork so I can block them and remove them from my fan base.
What's a coomer?
Coomer, I think it's derived from the word come. Let me check Urban Dictionary. It basically means like an online horny person. Let me double check.
Oh,
that.
Yeah.
Dictionary, coomer. Always helpful to get the urban. A coomer is so... All right, let's get the full definition. Initially an internet version of the Wojak guy, Akumar is a male chronic masturbator, an incel on steroids who lives in front of his PC consuming porn all day
and having, fire.
And having no other interest in life other than other than to reach his next orgasm.
Is it weird for you to look at that definition and see a picture of yourself?
How'd they get that? That was private. Okay. At some point, Ruben Sim begins to ramp up his trolling of the furry community. So this is from February 8th. Next week, I will be appearing before my state's legislature to argue in favor of criminalizing being a furry. Katie, for this next part, I'm going to read this one critic's tweet from that same day. And then can you read Sim's quote retweet of it?
Yeah. Who's the critic?
At SmileKid101 says,
okay.
I think Ruben Sim has some actual unchecked mental problems. You cannot tell him his years-long tirade about furries and Roblox is normal behavior. Then how does Ruben Sim respond?
If I had a gun with two bullets and I were trapped in a room with Hitler and a few... If I were trapped in a room with Hitler and a furry, I'd shoot the furry twice.
So he
look, I'm against hunting in general, but that's a really good tweet.
He apparently got banned temporarily for that tweet, marking the fastest Twitter has ever responded to a violent threat. He's back. He comes back 8 days later saying things like this. He's quote retweeting his earlier tweet about his state legislature. And he says, starting in April, publicly declaring yourself a furry in Arizona will be classified as a misdemeanor. Thank you to everyone who supported me in making this happen. Naturally, people are outraged at this miscarriage of justice. One of them, Synonymal, apparently a furry, tweets at the governor of Arizona, at Katie Hobbs, your state, reverse this. Around this...
Honestly, I would not be surprised if this were enacted into law, but it wouldn't start with Arizona. It would start with Florida. This would be Ron DeSantis' next step to get back at Disney.
So around this time, Ruben Sim also offers the following commentary. What's the difference between a furry and a potato? Katie, do you know the answer to this?
I don't.
I don't have 9 potatoes buried in my backyard.
Oh my God. He's very funny.
8 days after announcing the fictional furry ban, Ruben Sim tweets, if you want to help get furries banned in Arizona, now is the time to act. Call, and he leaves a number, and leave a voicemail in support of the anti-furry bill. If we win in Arizona, we can start reaching other states. This gets almost 500,000 views.
What was the phone number?
Well, this led inevitably to a YouTube video titled, I Shouldn't Have Posted My Phone Number on Twitter.
He self-doxed.
Here are some of the messages that were left on that line.
Hi there, you're gonna get a bunch of voicemail from a bunch of edgy fuckers who are trying to get past an anti-furry bill. Yeah, I don't know why they're doing it, but some random edgelord on Twitter who has a Roblox account is trying to do that shit.
I like how he's like warning them.
I would like to say it's quite stupid that a bill is trying to be passed about an innocent hobby that doesn't affect any people at all.
I'm calling to voice my opposition. Bills target furries or the greater LGBTQ community. Those kind of bills, legislations, and pushes are part of the greater Nazi agenda. Controversial, but this is actually true. I am against any bills targeting in a negative light the furry community or the greater LGBTQ community. Again, those Clinton folks that didn't necessarily admit it, but they're essentially Nazis or are Nazis or neo-Nazis. And therefore are as un-American as you can get.
So that's more or less the story of Ruben Sim. You got the furry war, which of course is a good thing to end on, but the Roblox, which just is a far more evil seeming company than I realized. We're linking to a lot of legitimate journalism on this. I would invite people to watch it, I guess, especially if your kids play Roblox or if you are a child molester, because this will give you valuable information on how to elude the authorities.
Mm-hmm. Or if you're looking for a way to make some money, make fake hats.
Dude, should we just do BarPod Roblox gear?
Let's do merch. Let's do some NFT Roblox merch.
Yeah, I guess that's all I got about Ruben Sim and Roblox and furries.
This is one of those stories. Like, there are lots of times just during a regular day, like when I'm in a grocery store or sitting in traffic, when I'll just have a thought, like, I'm so glad I don't have children. And this is one of those stories that makes me feel that very, very acutely. My sister was in town a couple weeks ago. We went to a family member's house, and they have a kid who's probably 10 or 11 now. And my sister was sitting with this kid, and they were talking about like what her son, his sort of rules about gaming, what he's allowed to play and not play, and like time limits and screen time and stuff like this. And our cousin, I'll call him
Osama
for the sake of this. My sister showed him on her phone that she can see everything that her son does on his like Nintendo Switch or whatever it is. Like she can monitor all of his like what he does, you know, the games that he plays, how long he's on, what he's, who he's talking to, whatever. And Osama, our 10 or 11 year old cousin, he got just like wide eyed and he was like, do not tell my mom about this. And then he went to his bedroom and he got his piggy bank and a cross that he wears when he takes, this is not a religious family, when he does his math test. And he tried to bribe my sister into not telling his mother that there's an app that you can use to monitor your kids.
That lets you monitor.
Of course she took the money.
Little Osama.
Keep the cross. I'll take the money.
$3.50.
Man, just the amount of shit that parents have to deal with that our poor parents did not have to deal with, because we had computers, but at least they were not computers that were in our pockets, and at least they were not exchanging fucking currency on AOL, Minsa Messenger, or whatever.
Remember, you know, you, me, and Jana have been talking about adopting a kid and having it be raised by the legal entity Permaband LLC. So it's like actual father would be the company. And just every week we would fly it across the country back and forth. We'd share custody. I'm starting to think we shouldn't do that because the world is such a sick place.
Look, to me, it just comes down to the tax breaks. That's it.
Dude, I just did my taxes. Being a freelancer in New York.
Horrible.
Most oppressed person in the world. Me.
Oh, absolutely. It's really bad. First freelancer in New York. Second, Michael Jackson impersonator on the subway.
My accountant was like very earnestly like, have you considered not living in New York?
Yeah.
I was like, yes, for a number of reasons.
You should think about it.
Oh, Jeff. My God. Can I move into the racist guy's house, into his bathtub?
You know, it's pretty full right now since we've got two racists, but you could stay in the gun room.
Do they?
Other way, they're going to know that you're Jewish. You can't stay in the gun room. You're going to have to stay in the
attic. Jew room?
And they can't know about it. Yeah, the Jew room.
Usually you don't hide in the Nazi's attic. That's right. Let's stop there. That's it.
Hiding
I'm
from
done.
The landlords. All right, Jesse, thank you for that story. That was a good, if very weird one.
Thank you to Trace, as always, for his invaluable research.
All right, bye.
Bye, guys.